Okay, so thank you for coming. I know that there's a lot of choices to make this morning, and I appreciate you making this one. My name is Kevin Donovan, and I'm a program manager for the Office BI team at Microsoft. It's sometimes referred to as the SharePoint BI team. At the end of the day, it's still BI, and I kind of try to illustrate that in my presentation today. So in case you feel like you might be in the wrong place, this is tips and tricks to effectively manage your SharePoint farm with BI. So let's go ahead and get started. So what I want you to take away from this today is understanding the problem and then understanding the solutions to that problem. So the problem that I'm presenting to you is that finding the data that you need in order to manage your SharePoint farm can be a challenge. I mean, you've seen the data, you know what's out there, but how do you get it? How do you put it into manageable chunks that you can put BI on top of, right? So I'm going to posit that finding the data doesn't necessarily have to be hard. And I'm going to show you how to do that. Monitoring the data, once you do find it, that doesn't have to be hard either. And if you use the right tools, Microsoft BI stack, you can get there actually pretty quickly. And I'll show you some of the ways that you can do that. So as IT administrators, as administrators in general, you know, you do everything you can to create what I call the peaceful farm. So it's load balanced, you know, your memory is properly allocated, you set up the perfect amount of caching options, you've shortened your timeout requests, you've lengthened them, you've done whatever you have to do, it's running smoothly. And then you let your users into the farm, and it's no longer a peaceful farm, it's an alligator farm. Why? Because of big data requests, because of poorly structured SQL calls, you know, rogue JavaScript, memory pressure, CPU pressure, and all the things that go along with it. So what I hope to do today is help you get back to that nice peaceful farm. So this is what I'm calling a roadmap, and what I want to do is take you through these sections here. So it doesn't take a lot to go out and search the web for creating solutions about, you know, how to manage your farm and how to create cool dashboards on top of that and everything else. Those solutions are actually pretty prevalent. I feel, though, that the problem is that many of those solutions don't tell you how to get your data into manageable pieces that you can then lay your BI tools on top of and create cool dashboards out of it. So what I want to do is focus on a couple of things. The first side is the data side. So how do you deal with all that, right? How do you find the data? How do you manage it? And then I want to talk a little bit about the tools that you use to meet your dashboarding needs. And then hopefully bring it all together and show you a pretty nice demo at the end about creating a dashboard. But the first thing I want to do is jump into a quick demo just to kind of get those BI juices flowing a little bit. So what I want to do is show you how to create perfmon data on a dashboard. Let's see here. So I have a simple Excel spreadsheet up right now, and keep your fingers crossed. I've been having bad connectivity issues today, so hopefully we won't get bit. What I did was I went out and opened perfmon, and I just created a quick data set. I'll show you what that data set looks like. So I'm just grabbing things like idle time, interrupt time, privilege time, stuff like that, things that are actually pretty useful that perfmon collects for us. And the reason I'm starting out with this demo today is because if nothing else happens today, this is the one that you can go out, and if you have Excel and you can get to SharePoint, you could like literally leave and go downstairs and sit on a couch and create a dashboard using this method. So that would be cool for you to take away. So anyway, here's what I'm collecting. And what I've done is send that into a CSV file. And if you've played with perfmon at all, you know that you can do that. You can send it into a tabbed limited file, CSV, whatever you want. So from Excel, I can install the PowerPivot add-in. And have anybody here played with PowerPivot before? Okay, so this is new to a bunch of people. So this is an add-in that comes with SQL, and it's a free add-in. It sits on top of Excel. and allows you to essentially create an in-memory analysis services model that you can then pivot your BI tools on top of. It's pretty slick. So what I'm going to do is just open that Power Pivot window, and I'm going to go out and grab that CSV file. So I'm going to just browse to it. It's my perf logs folder. And because it's CSV, I'll need to change that. So it's going to go out and grab that data. And here it is. And I'm going to just use simple column headers here. So there's the data. It's kind of ugly, but not that bad. Click Finish, and it's going to go out and import that, just pulled in 60 rows, because this is just a small sample data set. With me so far? So I'll click Close, and now it's in this separate window, which represents the Power Pivot window, right? You can kind of see Excel behind it. So the first thing I want to do is actually just go in, and because this is brought in from CSV, it brings in everything as text, right? So let's go... change our data type real quick. Okay. The other thing we can do is just for the sake of pulling this into a pivot table, you know, rename this to something meaningful. Call that time. We can rename this column here. Just slice off this. We can do the same thing here. So that when we bring it into our our pivot table, the titles are meaningful to us. I'm not going to do all the columns. I'll just do these three. There we go. Okay. Now, when you pull this into a pivot table to slice and dice on it, you're going to get, by default, a sum of these values. We don't necessarily want a sum, or maybe we do, as the case may be, but for the sake of this, we also want averages against this data. So Power Pivot creates this cool little wizard up here that allows you to create averages based on columns. And the formula that it creates is called the DAX formula, and we're going to get into that in a longer demo towards the middle of the presentation. But suffice it to say for right now, what it did is give me an average time of this column. So we can go in and we can do the same thing for our other columns. And now we have an average. And so when we put this into a pivot table, these are going to be our calculated measures, and this is going to be, this time is going to be our dimension, so we can slice this by time. So what I want to do is, from here, there's a cool little feature in the ribbon that just allows you to send this to Excel. And some of you may have seen this in demos already, but I'm just going to create two horizontal charts. And it's just going to ask what worksheet I want to put it in. I'll put it in an existing worksheet. And so here are my charts. Can I scoot these over so you can see the resolution is a little tight here. And then I can go in and do everything I do with Excel normally, right? So I might insert a slicer, and we can go down here and grab time, since remember I changed the column name on that so that it could be readable. Now you know why. So there's our time dimension. And then we can do things like actually create data. So if I come over here, we can do, you know, interrupt time. Come on. There we go. Privilege time. Uh-oh. Let me grab this. All right. We'll leave him for a second, come down here. And there's here are the calculated measures that I created, and you can see that has this little calculator at the end to indicate that I created a calculated measure. And we can add these. But let's say we don't want a bar chart. So we'll go in, let me create something different. We can create, like, I don't know, a pie chart, right? And then once we do that, we can go back up here and take and look for our time dimension. We can slice that by time so we have something meaningful. And I'll just leave this right now since he's not cooperating. But once I have this in Excel, then I can just save it to my SharePoint site, and all of a sudden now I have access to Excel services. So I can just go to my SharePoint site. We'll save that. We'll just leave it as book two. That's fine. And when I save it here, it's going to ask me, yes, it's a document. And it's going to launch the browser and show how this has been put into Excel services. So there I have it in the browser. Okay. And then if I really wanted to get fancy, I could take it one step further and put it into Performance Point. Who here has used Performance Point before? Wow. Okay, that's good. So this is Dashboard Designer, and it comes with SharePoint Enterprise. And what you can do is allow you just act, you create a service, a Performance Point service, and then you get access to things like Dashboard Designer. And one thing that you can do with Dashboard Designer is build dashboards and then deploy them to SharePoint. So what I'm going to do is create a couple things. First, I'm going to create some content, and then I'm going to create some data connections. And the reason why I put that CSV file into Power Pivot to begin with is because that thing I mentioned earlier about it creating an analysis services model in memory. So the workbook itself behaves as an analysis services model. So what I can do now that I have an AS model is I can use Performance Point to connect to that AS model, because Performance Point, that's what it does. It connects to AS really well. So the first thing I'll do is just create some content, though. You can pull in Excel services. So here's an Excel services report. And there's my SharePoint site. I put it in my shared documents library, right? Remember that book two? There it is. So I can save that report. And then I can go in and create that data connection I was talking about. And remember, I showed you, I just pulled in book two for an Excel services report. I can actually go in and create a data source off of that exact same workbook as an AS data source. So remember, I just clicked analysis services right there. And all I do is go in and specify the connection string for that data source. We put it in our shared documents. We called it book two. You'll notice I've actually specified the full path to the workbook. Assuming I have no typos, maybe I do. All right, well, shoot, sorry guys. Anyways, I could put this on, create a data source and create a dashboard out of it. But what I can still do is create a new dashboard using the Excel services report that we just created. So I'll just create a zone, and these are the SharePoint zones. These represent SharePoint zones on a web part page. So I click OK and go in and pull my report out. Was I? Oh, I know what I did. My bad. Thank you. All right. Come on, find my work. There we go. So I found the model. And now what I can do, that since I have a data source, is I can go in and create a new analytic chart based on that data source. So I go in, I choose what I just did. I'm not going to name it anything fancy. I've already spent enough time troubleshooting that one thing. Okay, so now I have all of the measures and dimensions that are part of that original workbook. It loads here. There we go. Dimensions. So now what we can do is go in and we can just grab those. OK, calculations that we created earlier. So here they are, average, right? Remember these? And I can put those as part of my series. And then I can take my time dimension and make that my bottom axis. And there I have this. And then from here, you can just go in and do cool stuff like change the report type, do whatever you want. You save it. And then here's the cool thing is we've this dashboard that we have out here, we can just go in and grab that second report that I created. And then once we're done, simply deploy it to SharePoint. So then I just would need to work on the sizing a little bit here, which you can do right from Dashboard Designer. But you can see that now I have a SharePoint report with two charts on it. I can go in and I can do cool things like Performance Point allows you to use a decomposition tree, if you've heard of that. You can change the measures, you can drill down, you can do whatever you want. Now I don't have any hierarchies on this model, but if I did, I could easily go in and drill and slice and dice on it a little bit more. So there you go. That's how you create this in Performance Point. Now you might be asking, but that's just a CSV file, right? So what happens when that data changes? And the cool thing is that you can go in, obviously, if you've played with Performance Monitor, you can go in and set that up as a schedule, right? You can say when that data gets pulled in. And then the cool thing about the whole thing is that, again, because I put it in an analysis services model, if I go into SharePoint Central Administration, and I go into Manage Service Applications, here's another reason why I put it in Power Pivot, is because Power Pivot has its own service application settings. And within those settings are some pretty cool things. Not only does it have its own dashboard capabilities that allow you to analyze every model in your SharePoint farm and look at its data. So here's the fledgling dashboard that it creates. Anyway, I would click on Configure Service Application Settings, and this is where you would also see the ability to, data refresh. I told you I was having connectivity issues today. All right, so that's pretty much the end of that demo anyway, so I think we're good. Back to our slides. So, BI area tools and matchup. So BI is a pretty easy thing to do, but a fairly difficult thing to define. And there are a number of ways that we can look at BI. And there's a whole bunch of tools that you and your administrators have today, like Excel and Performance Point, that sort of meet the definition of a BI tool. So I've already checked on Performance Point and Excel services. How many people here have used Power View? You seen the demos on that this week? Okay. I'm going to show you some of that at the end, hopefully. So when we talk about BI at Microsoft, I'm not just talking about one product or technology. Rather, I'm talking about a set of technologies or a suite of technologies. When we go to these conferences and we talk about this stuff, a lot of the questions we get is, well, Microsoft has too many BI tools. Like, how do I know which one I want to use? I can't really stand up here and say that there is only one or that there is only one that you can use that will satisfy all your BI needs. And there's a lot of companies out there that will say, hey, this is our BI tool and this is what you should use and it'll do everything you want it to do. That's the hammer approach. I mean, how many people have just a hammer in their toolboxes at home? No one. It doesn't work that way. So what we do is kind of split this out and use the tools that you already have, like your Office tools, in order to satisfy three different levels of BI. So you have your personal BI, your team BI, and your organizational BI. And it really comes down to what you want to show, who do you want to show it to, and for how long do you want to persist that data. So, for your personal BI, you kind of have your Visio and Visio services, your Excel and your Power Pivot, and to some degree, Report Builder. And then as you start getting more into the team BI, you know, you start things like Excel services. And what this, so your personal BI would be like, hey, I just opened a spreadsheet and I just want to slice and dice this a little bit. I just want to look at it. I'm not going to save it. I just want to see what it, you know, a few things. I'm not going to share it with anybody. That's kind of your personal BI. Your team BI is like, well, actually, this is pretty cool. I do think my team can use this, so I'm going to throw it into Excel services, and now at least I have it in a in the browser, right? So now I can share it and put it up and do whatever I want to do. And then you sort of get into this organizational BI where it's like, wow, this is really taking off. It's not enough just to share a spreadsheet anymore. I want to put it on performance point services or reporting services or something like that and really persist it across my organization. So that's kind of how that works. And then, of course, you have, you know, SQL, IS, and analysis services underlying the whole thing. So next I want to get into what I call an ounce of prevention. And I mentioned this section because it's important that you do everything that's possible to prevent the huge number of alerts and events that you could get as part of excuse me, as part of an ill-managed or a poorly tuned farm. It's also important to look at the tools that you use to monitor your farm, since those themselves can have performance impacts, depending on how well you use them. So, calming the noise. So what do you do when the tools you use to monitor your farm are some of the biggest offenders of performance? I want to talk about how to optimize those tools so you can kind of keep tabs on everything. So your SharePoint farm is going to generate alerts about everything, right? You've seen that bar that goes across the top of Central Admin. It's sometimes yellow, but mostly red, right? And it says, you have these really horrible critical issues. You need to attend to those right now. Yeah, it scares you into action, right? Most of the people that I've talked to are like, oh yeah, we figured out how to turn that off. Okay, cool. So one of the biggest ways to filter out the noise from so many alerts is to set up a farm that can truly handle the capacity that you throw at it. For example, Performance Point Services contains a whole bunch of caching options to help you reduce the number of calls to those big data sources that can be added to reports and filters. You know, you saw me in a second ago just add a report based on a little CSV file or whatever. But imagine, you know, millions and millions of dimensions or well, not dimensions, but definitely measures, anyways, that can really slow down your farm. And because of that, because of all the caching and everything that you may be able to set up, you can see your app server memory, right, go up as a result of that. While your CPU kind of stays low. So to change this, you can add more memory. You can throttle your ASP.memory cache, forcing the CPU to handle more of that load. Or you can simply change your caching allocation. It's really up to you, but tackling issues like that translates into fewer overall alerts. And really what I'm trying to do here is, again, just make it so that you don't have to go through as much data in order to get something meaningful out of that data, in order to understand what your farm is doing. You just want to get rid of the riffraff. That's my point here to that. So then pages that are also created for BI are some of the worst offenders for this last bullet here on network and memory and disk use. So you see a lot of this around filters that go out and grab, you know, all those members and rows from AS. Not only that, but most of those applications cache filter requests in order to avoid further requests. So Performance Point does that too. So you pull in a big data set for a filter, and then the next person that goes to run that filter has that data already cached, so their filter runs nice and fast. But you know, if you don't have the memory capacity to handle that, you'll see it spike on your back end. So you'll notice a lot of this is targeted at database guys, and that's because so much of the tuning does occur on the database side. So many of the alerts that you use to track down you know, what's going on with your farm have to do with space allocation on the local drives. And one of the big contributors to space and size problems, which you can manage fairly easily, is your temp file sizes, especially on your SQL servers. So last I figured out is that Microsoft does recommend that the number and size of your data files allocated to the temp DB should be equal to the number and size of your core CPUs. And I can talk a little bit about more about that after this session if you're interested. So you can also create multiple content databases in SharePoint, right? And that can be done through the UI, right, through Central Admin, or you can do it through the old STS ADM tool. Anybody use that still? Not very many people. It is actually being deprecated in favor of PowerShell, and you can also use PowerShell to accomplish the same thing. And this really helps for a number of reasons. So if you have lots of content in the site collection, you know, you can restore that a lot easier, you can do backup a lot easier, you can manage the growth a lot more simply and systematically if you have multiple content databases servicing up data. Finally, for caching, so SharePoint does use three types of caching, and two of those are actually turned off by default, believe it or not. So you have your blob cache, which is off, you have your page output cache, which is also off, and then you have your object cache, which is on. And you can go into your web.config files for each web application in SharePoint and turn those back on if you want. So this is a section of what I'm calling data the hard way, and we saw that as I said, you know, showed you the roadmap in the beginning. And what this is meant to show is that there are ways to go out and get data, but it's not always as simple as you would hope. So this slide is a bit of an eyesore on purpose, and I made it that way, like I said, on purpose, because of the content that it represents. So you don't have to read it, but if you'd like to, you can as I'm talking. In 2008, we published meaning the Performance Point BI team, published a 75-page white paper, right? What it did was told you how to extract a whole bunch of data from a 2007 System Center Operations Manager data warehouse. And it told you how to, you know, go through this huge ETL process that, you know, via integration services and then creating OLAP cubes off of that and then rolling that up through BI Development Studio and boom, you had your analysis services cube. The painful part of the white paper was not System Center. That part was pretty easy because it was going out and doing its thing, right? It had agents all over the place. It's collecting data. It's pulling it in. It's just running and humming along. The hard part was getting all that data into a format that can be consumed with BI tools, and that's where that paper came in. It's like, oh, how do I turn that data warehouse into an analysis services warehouse that actually can be used, right? It's all about getting the data into the right format. So these, if you look at them, they do sound pretty reasonable in and of themselves, but are there very many IT admins that are going to know how to do all of these things together? I mean, yes, there are, but they're hard to find, right? And not only that, but who's going to have the patience to go through a 75-page white paper and pull this all together? And then not only that, is it truly sustainable? You know, we've all heard the story of, you know, the employee who goes in and figures out this fantastic solution, right? Gains all this brain trust and then leaves the company. And then leaves this legacy behind of something that's really hard to follow and maintain and sustain. That becomes pretty tough. So I want to show you another example, and this is one that we built in-house at Microsoft, and you can see that this is, I mean, if you're familiar with Performance Point, see that these are Performance Point dashboards. You can, that line chart there on the right looks eerily similar to what we created in Perfmon. So these are the screenshots that were built against usage database in SharePoint. As you can see, it's pretty nifty. It shows some interesting data. It's got like requests per second, unique and concurrent users, response times, all kinds of cool stuff. The problem is it took three Microsoft developers like 3 months to put this together, unfortunately. and that's a pretty tough thing to swallow for some companies. In order to build this, what they did was they created a SQL script that pulled together, like I said, the database data from SharePoint, inserted it into a reporting database. The script that does all this, that pulls it all in, is like over 3,200 lines long. Once the data is captured, there's this XML file that defines dimensions and facts. It runs against a timer job that rebuilds this on a daily basis. And it's a cool solution, but it's not for everybody, right? And it clearly, the solution took a lot of resources and a lot of time. Two assets that not all mid and small companies have access to, right? A lot of those people wear one hat or many hats and do lots of different things. So I'm willing that most organizations don't have the resources to develop the ETL processes that puts that data into usable states. Although, maybe they do. So what I'm proposing here is that we've talked a little bit about data the hard way, and there are lots of ways you can go about acquiring data, but I don't think very many are as cost effective and sustainable as operations manager. And there's been a lot of talk about operations manager at the conference this week. And just go about just about anywhere and you can see what's new with OM 2012. So if you aren't familiar with the tools that make up System Center, it's basically a platform of a suite of products that come together and allow admins to oversee and manage their entities within their organization. And the 2012 stuff is actually pretty cool. If you played with 2007, you'll see some differences, obviously, in the 2012. You can find and monitor network routers and switches. That's pretty new. There's a web console that allows you to have different views of your data. There's a whole bunch of new PowerShell scripts, and you can monitor Linux and Unix machines now. And there's even a SharePoint web part that you can put on your SharePoint web part page that allows you to see some interesting and cool stuff. So this is about using BI to monitor those metrics, right? So what I've done here is just found some interesting tables in the warehouse and grabbed the operations manager data from those. Just some simple queries, pull it into Excel. This is kind of an example of that personal BI. I wouldn't do this if you were trying to manifest this data anywhere unless you took measures to move all that into a reporting warehouse and so that your users could actually hit that data without directly impacting their transactional data. But I just wanted to show a little bit about what you could do just from that personal BI state. So let's try building a bigger model. Oh, here's that. It finally came back. Anyway, this is the analysis services or the Power Pivot warehouse, or not warehouse, but dashboard. And you can actually do cool stuff like look at. Oh, sorry. My bad. Thank you. You can actually run information here to see how your workbook activity and charts work, and you have some charts and graphs that show you like query response time and average instance CPU and things like that. So what I was going to show you is you can go to the application settings page and scroll down here, and you can see that there's a data refresh section that will allow you to refresh the model itself. And then, of course, your CSV was being pulled out over again. So you could actually set up a refresh so you didn't have to go out and pull that data manually every time. So let's kill this. I'm going to go in and create a new workbook. We don't need this anymore either. Okay, so what we're going to do now is go out and create something a little bit more robust than we did last time. And I'm not going to go through, since we spent some time doing some other things that I didn't account for, I don't want to take a whole lot of time to go through and look at the structure of the operations manager data warehouse, but you've gone to this session because I'm going to tell you some things so you don't have to go out and find research that information yourself. So I'm going to pull in some data from SQL Server. And this is just a server that I have that's running. Here's my Operations Manager data warehouse, right? Click Next. And I'm going to select from a set of tables that are interesting to us. Now, I want to mention that I've been collecting this data for a little while on test servers that we have running around the office, some server. By the way, I'm from Boise, and so I've managed to connect to some servers out in Redmond, and I'm pulling in data from all over the place from different servers. And I've been running this thing for, like, I don't know, since I did the SharePoint conference back in October. So I've managed to accumulate a pretty good amount of data. So when I show you what tables I'm going to pull in, I'm not going to actually pull all that data in because of I don't want to sit here and make you watch this thing spin on pulling in tables. But the data that we're going to be dealing with right now, and if you download this deck after the session, I outline what these views are, so you don't have to worry about writing those down or taking pictures or anything because it's all there. But we're going to be pulling in vperf daily. Vperf hourly is the exact same view, but on an hourly basis. But I'm gonna grab daily instead. Then, if we scroll up here, performance rule and performance rule instance are two that we're going to need. And then there's this V managed entity. And what this table what this view contains is an aggregate of all the entities that Operations Manager manages, right? So you have entities and you have objects. So you have the entity table there, and in that performance table, you have the objects that you're monitoring. So your entities might be, you know, a server, right? And then the object would be what servers. So we're going to look at doing that. So instead of actually finishing and pulling in all that data, just trust me that I already have all this pulled in. It's called model only. So if I open up Power Pivot, you can see that if it's behind here, here's all that data that we pulled in. And we have here are the columns that we pulled that match the table names. So there's the performance rule instance, and there's the managed entity, and so you can see I pulled that in. But the two that we're really interested in is the sample count and this counter. And what we're going to do is create some calculated measures off of those so that we can create a dashboard off of them. But before we do, we need to do some housekeeping around the date problem. So what I want to do is we're going to create a couple of things. We're going to create a custom column that pulls in dates without the time dimension attached to it. Then we're going to create a derived table with very granular date data that we can use to join against that custom column that we're going to create. So let's just do that now. So we'll do create year first, right? Oops, sorry. Oh, no wonder I was on caps lock. It's still dark up here. You can't see anything. All right, we'll grab date time. We'll grab month. From date time. And date time, by the way, is just a column that's already in this table. It's off to the left there. You can't see it. And then we're going to grab day. Oh, I have a syntax error in here. Oh, thank you. Like I said, it's pretty dark up here. So here now we have a calculated column that just shows dates and just a time agnostic. So I'm going to rename this guy to date. Okay, and then what we're going to do is go in and create that derived table. So we'll go back into design, existing connections, open this, and we're going to write a query that pulls in the data to import. And because I don't want to type all this, I've cheated, grab this guy. And once I paste it in here, we'll look at what I'm grabbing. So we're going to grab like month, day, month, year, week, quarter, you know, day of year, weekday, that kind of stuff. And it will help us be able to create some pretty cool pivot tables that actually are able to slice by that data. So it looks good. Finish it, pull it in. It's going to grab that data. And so here it is. See, for each of these days, you have what, you know, what month day it is, what month, year, week, et cetera, et cetera. And we can rename this to dimension date. Okay, now that we have that data, what we need to do is go in and do some basic joins against this data. So Power Pivot has this great view over here where you can actually look at it almost like that access view where you can look at the tables themselves and bring it all together. So but because of my screen resolution here, try and bring these over so you can see them. And then that date, that dim date table we created was right out over there. So we can pull him over here and kind of spread this out a little bit. Pull that over so you can actually see the all right, so just do some basic joins here. We're going to join date to date, right? And then we have managed entity row ID. We'll just go up and join that to this one, right? You can see performance rule instance row ID. Performance rule instance row ID will join this. And then we have rule row ID. We'll just join that across there. And now what we want to do is, so these are going to be the dimensions by which users will pivot their data. We don't necessarily want somebody trying to pivot their data by managed entity row ID. That's going to mean nothing to users. So what you can do is you can go through and you highlight the ones that you don't care about. So we'll keep full name path, we'll keep these, get rid of this guy. Want to keep all of our date stuff because those are great to slice and dice by. We'll get rid of this. Ruler ID, we'll get rid of that. And we're not going to actually need any of these. The reason we're not going to need any of these is because, yes, they're measures, but we're going to create our own measures, our own calculated measures instead. So rule row ID, don't need that. We don't need that. So when you right-click on this, you can actually hide from client tools. And so those won't be available as part of our pivot table. So now when I go back over here, you can see that these are now grayed out because we hid them from the client tools. So now let's go ahead and create our custom measures. So move that up a little bit. So here's the sample count and counter. Counter is basically the aggregate of data from the raw perf tables. And then sample count is a sample of how often those are collected. So it represents basically how active the count has been, or the data collection has been. So we're going to go in and go back up to here from our familiar DAX formulas. And we're going to grab, we'll do a sum of sample count. We'll do a min. and we'll do a max. And for a counter, we want to get average. That's a big one. And then we're going to grab some more complicated ones as well. And I synthesized that over here, so I wouldn't have to try and type them. And I'll show you. We'll go through each one and show you what they mean. So right here, we're grabbing the total month to date. So Power Pivot has some really great time intelligence functions. So MTD, total month to date, for a particular date of this column. Okay. Now we'll go in and grab one that's like a little bit more complicated. We'll grab the previous month. So again, we're going to calculate for the average counter the previous month given a certain date. We'll grab the same thing, but for previous day instead of previous month. And again, I'll post all this so you don't have to go out and get it yourself. And then the last one is probably the most interesting, in my mind anyway, because we're going to create a KPI off it. So what we're doing here is we're looking at the counter reduction month over month. So we're making a calculation that looks to see how much that falls by. And because that's going to result in a percentage, what we want to do is actually create a KPI off of that so that we can see if the percentage of reduction is red, yellow, or green, right? So we'll create a scorecard. So we'll go up here and you can actually create a KPI based on that data. We'll give it an absolute value. 1.1. So everything to the left of this is going to be red, everything in the middle is yellow, everything over here is going to be green. When I hit OK, you can see it puts a little indicator down here that shows, hey, you've got yourself a KPI, right? So now what we're going to do, now that we have our model set up, is we're just going to go back over here, which I showed you earlier, and we'll just grab four charts off of this. We'll just use an existing worksheet. And you can see now here's my date dimension, right? Here's the perf daily, there's the KPI and all the calculated measures. Now you can see why we got rid of all that stuff from the client tool, right? You don't want your users to have to say, what is all this stuff, right? You can actually rename these too, but I didn't do that. Let's just get rid of one of those so we don't get in the way, and we can squish these over a little bit. I apologize for the time and cleanup here, but you understand. So now that we have this, what we can just do is quickly go in and, you know, we can insert, like we did before, some slicers, and we'll grab month, and we can grab, counter name and object name. We can even grab display name if we want to. And it's good to put those slicers out here. Take month and pull that down here. Actually squish that over since we're only looking at one number. So, and then once you have your slicers out here, you can easily go in and actually hook them up to the tables themselves. So we have chart 1, 2, and 4. We can take these, give it table connections, we'll hook that up to chart 1, 2, and 4. Same with this guy. All right, see chart 1, 2. Oops, that's 3. Anyway, we can, you get the idea. So for a month, we definitely want to hook that up to chart 2, because what I'm going to do is make a pivot chart off of the data that goes in there that will be applicable to month. So now that we have this pulled out here, it's really easy to start adding data to it, right? So the biggest thing we want to do is look at this one measure that we created that's actually pretty useful in most of what we're going to be doing, and that's this average counter. So we'll do that here too. And once we've done that, we can go in and we can slice and dice that by all of our cool new dimensions that we created. So now we have weekday, right? And because we've hooked up our slicers to that, you can go in and you can slice that data. Pretty cool, right? Then you can go in, and for this guy, we might want to do, we already did average of counter, so now we need to do, we'll do month. Month day. And so now you can go and you can slice by the month, right, by day. And maybe you do something by like turning this into a line chart instead, so maybe it's a little easier to see trend, right? That's one of the big things in BI is trend. So it really, you know, allows you to look at what your trend is looking like. And then, you know, for this last one, we can do maybe average counter month to date, right? And we'll slice that by month. And then we can make him like one of these cool pie charts. And then you can hook this up to month and do something similar. So you can kind of get a really good idea. And look at that, we built a dashboard in Excel off of data in just a handful of minutes. It's not that big a deal. And then of course you could send this to Excel services, you can manifest this further out. And do all kinds of really cool stuff. But we're not done yet because we still have that little issue of our KPI. Remember that? So what we can do is go in and we can insert a pivot table. We just choose our data connection, our Power Pivot data. What we're going to do is grab month, and we're going to put that across the columns, right? And then we can go in here, we can do like object name, right? And we want to add status to that. There you go, there's all the KPIs that we defined based on our model. And then if we really wanted to get fancy, you can keep going, right? You can say, hey, I want to show trend. So, you know, we can do a range. We'll just do something small. That'll be our range, our location range. And you have a trend. So you can see there's some pretty cool things that you can do here in just a very short amount of time to create a pretty slick dashboard. And we do have some time left, so what I wanted to do is show you, there weren't very many people in here who have actually seen PowerView, and so we can take this model and lay it on top of PowerView, and PowerView creates some really interesting charts and graphs. It's all done in Silverlight, so it pops, it's pretty, it moves, it bounces, it does all those cool things. And so what we would do is PowerView only takes a Power Pivot model underneath the hood in order to create those visualizations. So let's go in and create one of those. And there's a couple of ways to do that. Both involve going into SharePoint. So let's go to our SharePoint site. And has anybody here heard of a BISM file? BISM? Okay, good. One person. That's more than I thought. basically, a BISM file is a metadata file that allows you to connect to analysis services. And it's new with SQL Server 2012. When you install Power Pivot for SharePoint, you get the BISM file content type. So if you go in and you add new content types to a document library and you've installed SQL Server 2012, you're going to see that content type. And what it allows you to do is specify a server or a workbook as an analysis services model, and then from that BISM file you can create PowerView documents. It's a really powerful thing because the reason why they decided to create a BISM file is so that you don't necessarily have to configure Kerberos on your farm in order to connect to your models. I don't hear any woos, oohs, or ahs in here. I mean, come on. Have you tried to configure Kerberos before on your SharePoint farm? Yes, okay. With a BISM file, you don't have to do that in order to connect to analysis services. It's a very cool thing. And so what I wanted to do is show you that I've created this BISM file, and you can go in and create a PowerView report right from this BISM file. I just wanted to launch it real quick so I can show you how simple it is. You just give it a name, right, and then you connect to a workbook URL or a server name. Now, this is interesting, right? Workbook URL or server name. Remember I said that PowerPivot allows you to run analysis services in memory? That's why you can connect to a workbook as if it were a real AS database. Well, I guess it is a real AS server because it's running AS in memory. So in this case, I just specified this TE model, which is an exact duplication of the dashboard we just made in Excel. And so now if I hover over this, I can do the context menu and create PowerView report. The other way to create the same PowerView report is the PowerPivot gallery. Now, you guys are all familiar with the PowerPivot gallery, right? It's this nice little Silverlight application that has all of the workbooks inside of it. And then here's the other way you can create a PowerView report. So here's the workbook we created. There's our dashboard, and there's our KPIs, et cetera, et cetera. So personally, I think, since I think BISM files are so cool, I'm going to go back over here and I'm going to actually launch it from the context menu. So there it is. There's our Silverlight application. And I'm going to go through and in the essence of time, we can come back and create different views if we want. But there's one pretty cool visualization in here called a scatter chart. And so what we want to do is we want to start out by just going into our vperf daily. And you notice it pulled in all the model dimensions and measures just like we saw in Excel. And we'll start out by just clicking on one average counter. And when you click on that, it throws out just a single value because we're not slicing it by any time dimensions yet. And I can go home and open up some area filters, and it brings over my filters. And so now you can see we're looking at average counter, right? I go back into here, and we're going to do a scatter chart. So then it changes the chart type to scatter chart. And we're going to pull in counter name. And we're going to specify a specific counter name. So it allows us to just generate data on that one counter name. So we can collapse him, right? And then we're going to pull over display name. And we're going to pull over sum of sample count. Remember we created that sum of sample count? In our original model. And then also, and so by the way, there's this pretty cool thing in here where you can slice it after you've put it in. So we're going to bring in a week. And so you can drag these sliders here just to specify the particular week that you want. Now that we've done all that, all we have to do is actually set up the chart so that it actually looks like a chart that we care about. So for value, We don't really want average counter. We're going to put that in the y value. But in our x value, we're going to do sum of sample count. And in size, we're going to do average counter. So now we're starting to get something here. And details, we're going to do display name. So now we start to have something that looks meaningful. And so our play axis is actually what, whenever you do a scatter plot like this, you can do the play axis. Remember you saw the bubble chart flowing in the power pivot, the power pivot dashboard? We're going to do the same thing here. So we'll take week, and we'll do our play axis by week. So now that we have this here, you can actually, here's our play axis on the bottom. You can play it and see how your data is reacting over time. So we're looking at how our data is reacting over the entire year, all 52 weeks. Now, I noticed something. I don't know if you saw the same thing, but if we go back, drag this manually, right around here, like weeks 14 through 16, look at this guy, this report server. What the heck is he doing all the way over there? What's going on with that, right? So I might see that as an administrator and say, why is he such an outlier? And I kind of drag across and I say, I look and think, oh, all right. I see that something might be going off that report server. He continually wants to be an outlier over there. So what's going on with that? So I might create a different chart to help me diagnose that, right? And the cool thing about Power View is within the same dashboard, I can create a brand new view. So I have a view here. I can just simply go up to Home and do New View or Duplicate View. We're going to create a new view. And we're going to create a chart that tries to target that report server. So again, we're going to start with our average counter. And this time we'll create a column chart. Okay. We'll add our counter name. We'll add display name. And we haven't done a lot with instance names, so we'll bring it out. Now, this is what's really cool. I obviously have a lot of instances here. Look how small this bar is. I'm not going to look for everything. Plus, I know that I'm targeting report server, right? So I'm going to search for report server. And there's all my report servers. So I'm just going to target that one guy because we saw him as an outlier in that scatter chart. So I want to know what's up with that. And then I want to slice by week since we were looking a week before. So we have average counter in our values. Our axis, we want to be week. Our series, we want to be this counter name. And now you can see let me reduce this so you can see it better. I'm not sure how well we can hide our filters. I have everything that's associated with this instance for each of these DB file and DB file sizes and spaces and allocations and all kinds of stuff. And I can look to see that, sure enough, for this particular instance of report server, I have these dips that occur around week 11 through, say, week 18, and then again 33 through 40 or so. So it allows me to say, hey, okay, I can see that report server he was having some problems to begin with, but it's not that big a deal. It doesn't look like it's a trend or anything that I need to particularly worry about. So I'm just gonna kind of hope that it doesn't happen again, or if it does, at least I can monitor it and keep track of it. I can set this up to do data refresh and everything else so that it works accordingly. What do you guys think? Pretty cool, huh? I mean, literally created some pretty neat dashboards in a single session here. Do you want to see any more of this? Do you have an idea? I want to make sure that you get as much out of the session as you can. There are other chart types that we can create. We didn't create a line chart. Okay, that's fine. We didn't create some ways to slice on that. But if you have Power View, then you can. I encourage you to go in and take a look at that because it's actually pretty easy to do. Okay. This is what we did. So we tried to go in, we understood the perf hourly, perf daily, and again, I listed all this in here so you can go through and download the session, the deck afterwards, and hopefully create some stuff on your own without having to go back in and find all this stuff. I'll add the scripts so that you can go in and create that derived table of dates. Then we created the power pivot model, and we used that model to create interactive reports and visualizations that actually told us something about the data that we were looking at. And I didn't notice anything that nobody else could do in here. It was just, you know, I collected that data from Operations Manager, so if you're running that, that's great. There are lots of sample data sets out there, so you can practice with this stuff. It's not anything that's beyond the reach of anybody in this room. So, thank you very much for coming. If you have any questions, you want to talk about this more, come see me. I appreciate you all coming today. Thank you.